It was perfect timing for their raid. It was obvious from a quick wreck that Ryan had taken with JB, but the Brushwooders were totally off guard, not anticipating any trouble for several hours. There had been a short, sharp shower, lasting less than 3 minutes, but it had been enough to dampen the grass and the mud between the trees. Ryan was in the lead, his 6 hour drawn, the rest of the group strung out in a ragged skirmish line. At his order, the boy was waiting for them a couple of hundred yards in the rear, at the top of the hillside. Ryan's only concern was the trio of Sekhmen with Rainey. The sharp-featured Sek boss seemed the sort of man who could look after himself, but the others were slow and hesitant, clutching at their armed crossbows as though they were frightened that the bolts might fall out. It was the fattest and oldest of them, a man named Micah, who lost his footing.
Oh, what was that?
It's about to hit the fan.
Straub had taken over one of the powerful AK-74s, carrying it across his shoulder on a sling of canvas webbing. Ditchdown had the other Russian automatic rifle already in his hand. They had been walking around the encampment, discussing the strengths and weaknesses of their tactical position, just in case Baron Wayman decided to act contrary to his normal character and lead his Sekhmen against them. Not that they thought there was much chance of that happening. Ryan had been absolutely correct in his assumption that they wouldn't be looking for any threat, at least until the evening. But it was unlucky that Straub had just gathered the Brushwood men near the base of the wooded hillside.
The Baron is weak. Our tactics shall be straightforward and simple.
Suddenly, a fat old man in the dark green livery of the Ville came crashing through the bushes, landing almost at Straub's feet.
Well, what do we have here? Never mind.
The Kalashnikov spit out an arc of lead even before Micah had stopped rolling, spraying through the brush from left to right. Which was hard luck for Alan Dug, Micah's two security comrades, who happened to be on that end of the skirmish line. Bill Rainey had moved down the slope with greater ease, and the burst of fire from the Russian assault weapon went over his head, close enough for him to hear the whine of its passing and actually feel the heat of the rounds. Straub saw immediately that he was shooting high and hastily adjusted his aim as he swung the weapon across the line of men in the brush. Ditchdown also reacted quickly and had his own AK-74 ready, opening fire from the hip. The rest of the Brushwooders were slower. They had a few firearms, and most were single-shot self-builds or remakes. But some had longbows, and it was only a matter of a handful of seconds before their shafts were also hissing toward the attackers. For Ryan and the others, no adjustments were possible. Off balance, suddenly under a murderous raking fire, on a greasy slope of slick mud, it was hopeless.
Get out!
Ryan was shooting with the Sig Sauer, managing to put down the man standing next to Straub, when he was hit by an arrow. It struck him as he stood sideways, trying to work his way up the hill to relative safety. It entered just above the belt, driving into the muscles at the small of his back. Ryan went down to his hands and knees, ducking and barely saving himself from another leaden spray from Straub's Kalashnikov.
Oh, fuck!
JB took a musket ball in the left upper arm, the heavy shot passing clean through without striking bone or shredding muscle. It knocked him over in the treacherous mud, and he nearly dropped the Uzi. He braced himself for a moment against a stunted tamarisk, saving himself from sliding all the way down into the Brushwooders' camp. Jack had seen instantly that their position was untenable, almost helpless. Their only chance was to blast away at the Brushwooders and hope that it distracted them long enough to retreat up the hill to safety. But one of the rounds from Ditchdown's AK-74 hit the dirt just below him and to the left, striking an outcrop of granite and splintering the rocks. One of the razor-edged shards caught Jack across the side of the right calf, ripping out a sizable chunk of flesh.
Ah, shit!
Everybody, out!
Ryan stumbled, the muscles in his back screaming with agony. Bullets and arrows seemed to fill the air, and it seemed a miracle that they weren't all killed. Their reactions had been so quick that the Brushwooders were mostly firing too low, beneath their scrambling figures, dimly seen through cover. The air was thick with the smell of cordite, overlaid with a tang of fresh sap from the scarred trees. Christy was first to the top, throwing herself flat and trying to pick off targets with her Smith & Wesson. Trader came second, his eyes staring wide, his lips peeled back off his teeth in a smile of pure rage. he blasted away with the armalite at his hip.
I'm gonna kill that fat bastard.
Ryan was next, Bill Rainey at his heels.
Goddamn brushwaters!
JB had gone a little way to the right, and he appeared unexpectedly over the ridge, almost catching a bullet from Christy as she swung around to face what she had thought was an enemy.
JB!
Jack was last to reach the temporary haven of dead ground, hobbling painfully, pausing to fire back with a big satin-finished Colt Python. Arrows flew toward them, planting into the trunks of the tall pines.
Hold your fire! Hold your fire!
The shooting finally stopped.
Hold your fire! What's the injury, Cat?
Lost all three of my men. Poor bastards didn't have a chance.
Got hit in the leg. Nothing serious.
You know you've got a shaft sticking out of your back, Lover.
Yeah, I noticed. Leave it there until we can take some time drawing it out.
Best get out triple quick.
JB reloaded the Uzi, holding it across his lap, blood dripping down from his arm onto the gun.
Want that tied?
Later, Jack.
Trader lay flat, watching the activity below him.
Bald fuckers getting them organized. Won't take long for them to get around and behind us. Sooner we go, the better.
What about Micah? He was alive when they took him.
Won't be for long. Nothing to be done. Let's get out of here. Best we can.
To everyone's surprise, there was no effort made by the brushwooders to pursue them into the forest, and they reached the tethered horses safely.
How come they aren't on our heels?
Trader threw his armalite into the dirt. He ignored the reproachful glance from JB. Trader soon lay beside his weapon. Ryan was sitting, his shirt pulled up, while Christy and Jack peered at the gray-feathered arrow that protruded from his back.
Only thing I can figure is that Straub's playing it real smart.
How's that?
He reckons that our attack was a coincidence. Odds are that we hadn't met up with Jamie, so we didn't know about the ransom note. Boy wasn't with us.
Rainey was tying the bridles of two of the Sekhmen's horses to his own saddle horn, ready to lead them back to the Ville. Jamie would ride Micah's animal.
You mean he's still hoping to get the Baron to leave the Ville?
Remember, he doesn't know that Jamie's with us, and he's got Dean instead.
JB had allowed Jack to put a tight bandage around his musket wound, and he was flexing the fingers on his right hand, seeing how much movement and control he had in them.
Makes sense. Otherwise, we could have had those sons of bitches swarming all over us by now.
Best way is to break it and pull both ends out clean.
It's nicked the big muscles above your hips, but it hasn't gone deep enough to risk damaging the kidneys or liver. Just sort of pierced that roll of fat that you claim isn't even there.
Why don't you just break it in half and then pull it out, will you? And hold the wisecracks for another time.
Christy took the slender shaft in both hands, where it had driven through the flesh.
Here goes nothing. Sorry, Lover.
Get on with it.
She pulled out the section of arrow with the barbed point first, easing it carefully through the bruised and swollen flesh.
Fuck me!
Christy paused to wipe perspiration from her forehead, even though the day had become clammy and cool. The goose feathers were damp with the misty rain that had started to fall a few minutes earlier. Christy gripped them firmly and drew out the rest of the broken arrow in a single, smooth movement.
Done?
There was a tiny worm of crimson blood creeping down over Ryan's chin.
Is that it?
Christy dropped the two ends of the bloody shaft in the dirt.
Over.
Thanks, babe.
He kissed her. A gentle brush of the lips that became more urgent as they clung to each other.
We should get going.
I am so very sorry about Dean, Mr. Carter.
I keep telling you, it's not your fault, son. We'll soon be back at your father's Ville. And then we can decide what to do to try and pick up the broken pieces.
Do you have a plan, Mr. Carter?
Does a shark shit in the sea?
Dean was tied to the center pole of one of the larger tents when the rescue party arrived. He'd been trying to do the same mental calculations as Straub, guessing that it would take Jamie until dusk to get back to the Ville, at least that long. There would have to be some discussion and planning before Ryan led the assault unit that would sweep the brushwooders out of their camp and into the surrounding wasteland. Dean guessed that Straub would be expecting an attack during the hours of darkness, but Dean wasn't sure whether his father might prefer to wait